makeup.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And good morning. Welcome to SB Nation AM. I am Tony D. Glad you could be with us alongside Ron Culver. Can America calm down just a second? I'm having such a good time watching Hard Knocks. I like watching the Cleveland Browns. I'm supposed to not like the Cleveland Browns as a Steelers fan. Well, I technically do. I just don't like the Baltimore Ravens that used to be the Cleveland Browns. This Cleveland Browns for the last 20 years are like, oh, like the, you know, the fun, you know, cousin you don't worry about. No problem. I got no problems with watching the Cleveland Browns try to get better from an 0-16 season. But the reports out of Vegas have people betting on the Browns, not only to win, not only to win the division, but play in the Super Bowl. Slow down, America. Hard Knocks is fun. You get a good inside look into the team. Battles and see the quarterbacks and see the coaches talking about their team and what they like. You get to see Jarvis Landry going around saying, bless him, bless him, bless him. But slow down. Let's not all jump up and down and be Browns fans all of a sudden. This is the same team that will disappoint you and let you down. They will find a way. Trust me. New players, I get it. New quarterback, I get it. But what do you mean new quarterback? They've had new quarterbacks. They will let you down. Don't start betting on the Browns to win Super Bowls. What are we doing? Is it because we're like fascinated with hard luck cases in America that we want to see people rise up from the ashes so badly? And we're not only willing to support you while you're rising up from the ashes, a lot of times we will dive right into those ashes and grab you out ourselves. And maybe that's what's going on here. I think there is a Hard Knocks effect to this fascination with the Browns. They've got better players, and they're going to win games this year. They might even approach 8-8. They might even have a winning record. They might compete, right? But they're not going to – don't jump on them and be all excited about what they're doing because you're getting a close-up view of their training camp. You could go to any training camp. If Hard Knocks went to any other team in America, you'd find the same optimism and the same belief that they're going to win. It's not – slow down on the love affair for Hugh Jackson and these fun Cleveland Browns. 800-777-2907. All right, Tony D, Ron Culver, as we roll along this morning on SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you could be with us, SB Nation AM, rolling along. Now tell me, Ron, you don't have Browns fever yet, do you? Seems to be gripping America.
They're not winning the Super Bowl? I'm all in on them winning the Super Bowl.
Can you imagine if the Browns do win the Super Bowl? Holy cow. Yeah, I mean, it's popping up everywhere. People are believing in the Browns, and it's because of this television show. I'm telling, if that team wasn't on TV, nobody be betting the Browns to win the Super Bowl or the AFC North. Nobody. Of course they're going to be better than 0-16. Of course. Let's calm down a little bit on the Browns, for crying out loud. Goodness gracious. But who would you take? Like, if you were to look at the NFL, let's say you go to Vegas. And you're like, I got $100. I want to, you know, I'll make some money. I'm going to take a long shot to win a Super Bowl. Not really a long shot. Somebody that at least has a chance, but it's a far chance. But it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that they'd win a Super Bowl. I'm not going to go with the Patriots. I'm not going to take anybody like that. Who would you take? Like, who would you pick? Jacksonville? Well, they were in the AFC title game last year. Tennessee? What about Detroit? I mean, who would you take? And the more I think about it, I'm trying to figure that out. I'm like, I don't know. Like, if I had $100 and I want to bet a team to win the Super Bowl, I wouldn't bet on Cleveland. I don't know. Probably, maybe not. I'm trying to think. Tampa Bay? No. Jets? Of course not. Denver? No. Oakland? No. That's a hard question. Carolina? Well, they're good. San Francisco? What about San Francisco?
I can see
San Francisco to win the Super Bowl. $100 San Francisco. Like, I don't know what the odds are. I haven't looked it up. But San Francisco, just to make a bet, so that you make, like, if it comes to fruition, you've made some money, and you can have bragging rights to all your friends. Like, nobody saw this but me. I was in Vegas. I put $100 down. I won $2,000 or $3,500 or whatever it is. Hooray for me. Phil Mickelson did this in 2000. He bet like $10,000 on the Baltimore Ravens to win the Super Bowl. Now, back then, the Ravens were a good defense with no offense. Couldn't score a touchdown. And he made a boatload of money betting on the Ravens to win the Super Bowl. Apparently, Phil Mickelson is a good prognosticator of NFL. He's done this kind of thing before.
What about the Rams? Or is that too safe of a bet?
No. I could see the Rams. Yeah, I know. You're right. I mean, the Rams did make the playoffs last year.
I'm just trying to think of teams that, you know, because if you look at the AFC, I mean, you would never get the odds for the Patriots. You're never going to get the odds for the Steelers. I mean, it just makes sense that they would be there. And it seems like the NFC, there's a little bit more, guessing because there isn't a true dominant team that's really proven themselves yet.
Yeah, I mean, like the Giants, if you wanted to throw something like, you know, I guess. But that's what I'm thinking is happening with this Browns story, where people are, you know, betting on the Browns, is they're just going to Vegas looking for that one bet that they can make that is off the board. It's a little ridiculous. Maybe a lot of people from Cleveland are going to Vegas and making bets. I don't know. But I think there's a hard knocks factor to it. And I think people are like, yeah, give me the Browns. I'll keep it in my wallet. Lord knows if something happens, it'll be really, really fun. It'll be a great story. I got some money to burn. I'm on vacation. I'll throw some money down on the Browns. Why not? They're 0-16. If they do a huge Cinderella story, I make out and I get bragging rights to my buddies, then I'm good to go. I do think the hard knocks factor is huge here. You know, because one of the things that I've been watching this for 3 weeks, you get to really know this team. Like they're not only giving you the personalities, their family life. That's what Hard Knocks does. They make everything magnify. They take things and they magnify it up. And then you start watching how they're working out and practicing. And when you set it to like really cool music, like you take a workout and you set it to really cool music, you're thinking, man, they're getting it done. But the intensity of the workout is the same across. I mean, everybody's doing that. It just feels better when it's on TV and you're listening to some sort of rap song or some sort of high energy song attached to a guy lifting weights. And you don't know when the video is shot, so it looks like they're lifting weights like well into the evening or well after practice. Could be just a regular routine weightlifting. All that editing makes it look like the Browns are really working hard. Yeah, well, the Browns are working hard, and so are the Patriots and the Bills and the Dolphins and the Steelers and Denver and everybody else. They're all working hard. I used to cover training camp for the Broncos. I was there. I used to go there all the time, and I wasn't a fan. It was one of my assignments I didn't really enjoy because I had guys in my stable of radio stations, and I had radio colleagues, and they couldn't wait for training camp to start. Couldn't wait to get out there. A lot of it was for football, but they loved going to camp. They loved watching practice. They loved breaking down drill, like who's did what on drills and what the 7-on-7 looked like and what the full pads looked like and who was doing well at this position or that position. And that was never my thing. I never had the passion for that. I covered the camp with the Patriots. I covered the camp with the Broncos, and that never was my thing. My thing was watch practice, get a little feel for who's who, get some sound, call in my reports, and call it a day. And I had friends who were taking notes, and they'd be like, the offensive tackle position is red hot between these three guys, and so-and-so was making some good blocks, and that wasn't my thing. But when you watch Hard Knocks, you don't have to be that guy that I was talking about. You can be your average Joe fan, and all of a sudden you're making your own analysis. You're like, wow, Baker Mayfield looks fantastic. Sure he is, right? Oh my God, they look like they're all in the weight room working out, or they're all look at the way they're studying the film. Oh my God. And you get all excited about it. But that's what every team's doing. They happen to be the one on national TV. I'd love to follow this trend. I was thinking about this when I saw this story. I would love for Vegas, did bets on the Kansas City Chiefs occur more when they were on Hard Knocks, or the Jets, or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year or anybody else that's been on Hard Knocks? Was there an increase in betting on futures for that team based on the familiarity most of America was getting with that watching this TV show? Or is this just an anomaly that there's kind of a perfect storm around the Browns where people are betting on them because of Hard Knocks, but they're also betting on them because they went 0-16, and it's always good to have the underdog story rise up. Have you ever made a futures bet, kept it in your wallet?
No.
I'm not really
a betting man.
I'm not either. I lived in Vegas for 3 years. I used to bet baseball. I used to bet, the three-team parlays. I used to do that a lot. I used to put like $20 down and bet three teams, and sometimes I'd win, and sometimes most of the time I didn't. I kind of did that, but I was when I first moved to Vegas, I was a blackjack player, right? So I'd go play blackjack. Then I learned to play baccarat, like mini baccarat, and I liked that game a lot. And I remember I played that, and after a while, you better stop, because like I wasn't making a lot of money back then, and I was starting to realize how much I was losing. And one day I was sitting in my apartment. This was before I got married, and I started writing down, all right, I think I lost this amount and this amount. And that wasn't a lot. I mean, it would be like, I lost $50 or I lost $30. I started adding it up, and I'm like, no, this isn't going to work. I got to get out of this. I got to stop doing this. But I'm not a futures guy. I'll bet on games and stuff if I'm out there in Vegas, because I'm more of an instant gratification kind of guy. I don't bet on my team and keep this ticket in my wallet. No, I don't do any of that stuff.
Well, if you're going with teams that appeared on Hard Knocks and what they did that following season,
yeah,
teams don't usually make the playoffs.
No, they usually don't.
There's a handful. I mean, the 2010 Jets had the best run. They made it all the way to the championship game before falling to the Steelers.
Oh, right. That's right. That was Mark
Sanchez.
And
that was it. Everybody else usually had a losing record, missed the playoffs, or if they did make the playoffs, they were out in the first round.
Yeah, because the Hard Knocks does not have they do not go after the good teams.
Well, they can't. Isn't that one of the stipulations? Like, if you were a playoff team the year before, you can't be on Hard Knocks?
Right, exactly. So they're not getting the high-end, the high-quality teams.
So I will never see the Patriots.
You'll never see the Patriots.
Until Belichick and Brady retire from the game and the Patriots go back to what you and I grew up as, knowing what the Patriots were.
The terrible Patriots, where they made the plow guy go out in the snow and clear away for John Smith to kick a field goal in the 70s. They actually did that. They were lining up for a game-winning field goal. This is in the 70s. They were lining up for a game-winning field goal in a snow game, and the Patriots equipment manager sent a little tiny tractor plow that they used to clear the field. He went out on the field, plowed a straight line where the ball was going to be placed for the kick, so John Smith, the kicker, could kick it through the uprights. Can you imagine if that went down today?
How many teams, anarchy.
I mean, people would riot if that occurred. It's late in the season where your playoff hopes are on the line, and the home team in like Denver or Buffalo or any place like that where it snows, somebody said, well, time to just plow the field now.
Yep, but if a team was to do it, it would be the Patriots, and then we'd have Plowgate.
At Plowgate, of course, exactly. Exactly right. Do you remember that game in Buffalo last year where I forget who they were playing, but there was just snow everywhere. It was snowing like crazy, and it was the most fun football game I've seen on TV in forever. It was like when we were kids going out there playing in the snow. Now, of course, you don't know that feeling.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what that is.
You grew up in Southern California, but man, playing in snow was the best.
We didn't even play in rain. I did actually one time play a soccer game in the snow.
Oh, did you?
In Southern California, yeah.
In Southern California? How did you do that?
Well, it was just, it was wintertime.
Did it snow in Southern California?
Every once in a while. We'd get a little dusting, but
the PR for Southern California is it's always 75 degrees.
It is, but they're every once in a while
like in the 30s to snow.
You'll get some winter.
Okay.
Yeah, special conditions have to happen. All I really remember, there wasn't a whole ton of a lot of snow on the ground, but all I really remember was the ground was hard as rock.
Yes, exactly.
And when you hit the ground, you didn't really bounce. You just kind of stuck to the ground really hard. And there were a few injuries during that game.
A lot of people who grew up in the Northeast or in the northern part of the country in wintertime, a lot of people have gotten together with their buddies on Thanksgiving morning for like a Turkey Bowl football game. In New Hampshire, that's on frozen tundra by then. By that time of the year, it's on frozen field. I used to play, and then I got old. I was like, I'm done with that. No way. It was too painful. I mean, you're right. It's like concrete. The ground is like concrete. And after a while, my body was like, forget it.
It hurts so bad.
I'm not doing it. I can't do this. I had friends who played it for a long time, though. Every Thanksgiving, they'd get together for an annual football game. When I left, they were still posting pictures. I was like, guys are crazy. I'm never doing that again. Are you kidding me? Listen, I'm at an age where things hurt and it's never going to be better. You know what I mean? Things ache and that's it. That's what it is. Like if I went to the doctor and I said, Doc, my knee just hurts. He'll just be like, you're getting older. What do you want? Like, okay, great. I got to live with this forever. Yeah, that's right.
My knee's been bothering me the last couple of days. I have no idea why. I haven't done anything extraordinary for it to hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there. Last night, man, it's just really, really stiff. I can't bend it. And old age sucks.
And then you get to the doctor.
I'm not even saying I'm old.
No, you're not old, but you reach a point where
takes longer to heal now.
Yeah.
Like you get something, it's like, oh man, I'm just going
to
be.
I'll give you some pills to manage it, but I'm not curing it.
I look at my kids and like, my leg's broken. 5 seconds later, we're fine again.
All right. SB Nation AM. I am Tony D. That is Ron Culver. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio or at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We are SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Summer's heat can be draining on your vehicle. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and have your battery tested free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact Superstart battery that fits your car or truck at guaranteed low prices. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So I read this today, Ron, and I thought, this is a little interesting. I don't know if I'd go to the movies to see it in a theater again, but the movie Rudy is coming back out in theaters to mark its 25th anniversary. Now, I don't think I'd pay money to see Rudy in the theater. It's not like one of those movies that's better in the theater. And the problem is I've probably seen it a zillion times because it's on all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I guarantee it's on TV right now.
It's on TV right now, exactly. It's on all the time. But then I thought, but 25 years, that's crazy. I was like, wow, that's awesome. Time's flying. I remember when they filmed that movie.
Yeah, that's not right. I got to check the math on that.
I know.
They can't be 25 years.
I remember the stories because I was in New Hampshire at the time, and Boston College was playing Notre Dame. And the reports, people who went to that game came back and said, they were filming a movie at halftime. They were filming, and it was for Rudy. It was like 92, I think. They were filming scenes, or 91. The movie came out in 93. So I think it was neither in the 91 or 92 season that they were doing filming for it. And they were filming crowd shots and things like that. And that was the buzz from people who went to Boston College who traveled to South Bend for the game, is that they were filming Rudy. And then when it came out, Rudy's one of those weird movies. I like it. I don't love it. It's worn on me over time, meaning it's worn on the opposite end. Like every time I watch it, I think, boy, this is campy. Oh my God, this is like Rudy's annoying. Like that guy who's the maintenance worker that gives Rudy the key to the thing.
Yeah, isn't that Charles S. Dutton?
Yeah, that's right. And he's just trying to do his job, and that stupid Rudy is running around not doing any work.
Living for free. Freeloader.
It's like, Rudy, get back to work. He's like, no, I'm going to play for Notre Dame someday. And he's running around the field and giving off speeches. And it's just too much. When I was doing radio in Las Vegas, I had a chance to do a radio show with Rudy Rudiger. It's really
cool.
The real Rudy Rudiger. I did an hour with him nonstop. We didn't even take a break. It was one of those. We did a paid remote show, so like we didn't have to take commercials if we didn't want to. I did a whole hour with him. We talked about his life, the movie. He has made Rudy Rudiger took one moment in his life and lived on that for the rest of his life. It's fantastic.
Is he a god in South Bend?
I don't know if he's a god in South Bend. That's interesting.
Does he ever have to buy a drink because of his one?
That's a really good question.
Tackle.
That's a really good question because his one tackle. Does he? I would say No, I don't think he buys a drink. But, you know, because Notre Dame has got so many unbelievable athletes that have plowed through there, I don't know if he's on that par. But has anybody made more of one little brief moment of their college football career than Rudy?
It's just, you know, he embodies the American spirit. Never give up.
Never give up. But the problem is, Rudy, the problem with the movie is, like, all right, Hollywood embellishes. Like, whenever somebody tells me, oh, that movie lied. No, they didn't lie. They embellished. That's what they do. When Hollywood takes your, if Hollywood takes your life, no matter what you've done, let me tell you something. Nobody on the planet has a life story that Hollywood can improve on. Nobody. Hollywood has never gotten a life script and went, oh, no, we don't make any changes. This is fine. This is perfect. They embellish everything. That's what they do. They're trying to make your story more palatable.
I'm sure there's a few people out there.
I doubt there's one. Maybe, I doubt there's one story.
Hollywood Tim Tebow. Will embellish.
No, what will happen is in the Tim Tebow story, right? In the Tim Tebow story,
he would have won the Super Bowl.
Tim Tebow would have beaten the Patriots. No, Tim Tebow in the game against the Steelers, instead of going like 10 for whatever, he'll be like 19 of 20 for 316.
It just would have been the one play.
Yeah, instead of the ducks that he threw against the Steelers, they'd be rifled bullets.
No, he didn't even.
He
didn't even start that game. He came in overtime, threw one pass.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's it.
Exactly. And instead of the Steelers playing cover zero, which is what they did in that game, anticipating the run, they would have said the Steelers, this Dick LeBeau would have been on the sidelines. I can't stop him. That's what he would have done.
Joe Montana is a big fan of Rudy.
Yeah. Joe Montana was the quarterback.
Yeah.
No,
he wasn't the starter.
He wasn't the starter. He was on the team.
He was on the team.
You know what?
He was a big fan. He thought the movie was historically accurate.
He did?
No, not at all.
I was going to say not at all. I don't think he did, because that movie's not even close to historically accurate. They carried him off the field.
The last man to ever carried off the field.
He was the last man to be carried off the field. There is absolutely no truth to the part of the story where the athletes turned in their jersey in support of Rudy Rudiger playing in his senior year. That did not happen. Now, here's what else didn't happen, and Rudy told me this. In the movie, Eric Parsegian was a big supporter of Rudy, wanted to, you know, remember in the movie, he's like, all right, Rudy, you earned it. Like, my dad would want me to dress. And our era is like watching film. He's like, all right, Rudy, you've earned it. And then era leaves, and Dan Devine comes in. And Dan Devine's from the Jets. And then the whole movie, the actor who's playing Dan Devine is like ignoring Rudy and just doesn't want to deal with Rudy, and Rudy's a pain in the butt, and he's like, oh, I'm not going to play this kid. This kid's no talent. And the football players put their jerseys on the table. They want to support Rudy. And Dan Devine reluctantly is like, oh, God. All right, fine. Get the stupid kid in the stupid game. I'm done with this. That's not what happened. Dan Devine was actually just as big a supporter of Rudy as Eric Parsegian. Had no problems putting him in the game his senior year.
Yeah, but that doesn't make for good Hollywood.
Of course, that's what I was saying.
He's got to battle the odds one more time.
Of course, that's what I was saying. Nobody has a life story that Hollywood's not going to embellish in some way, shape, or form.
Now, what about the maintenance worker? Was that true?
Nah, I don't think that was true.
Was he a former football player?
A former superstar at Notre Dame?
Who felt he got slighted because of the color of his skin,
exactly.
Not because of talent.
Exactly. And what about the priest? Remember the priest? Let's try to get Rudy into Notre Dame.
Gave him all those chances.
The one that said, I've learned two things in my life, Rudy. There is a God, and I'm not him.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, though, if it's a priest, there could have been a lot more activity going on.
Right.
We don't know.
Okay.
We really don't know the whole story. Rudy might have buried that deep down.
And Rudy never got, this is another part. Rudy didn't get, his family didn't go, oh, Rudy. Put away those dreams of a better life and work at the plant.
Work at the mill.
Work at the mill. It's good enough for your father. It's good enough for you. No,
Did he ever hook up with that chick?
No, I know. The girl from the...
The booster.
That?
Yeah, because he lied.
Remember that? Yeah, because he lied. He told her she was on the team. He was on the team.
Because, I mean, I've done that in college.
Of course.
I lied my way to get to, you know, to get to the chick.
I told somebody I was a lacrosse player and I never played lacrosse in my life. I don't know why I did that. I told one girl
did. There was one reason why we did that.
Exactly. One reason alone.
the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Colker. Here's Tony D.
You've been with us, SB Nation AM, as we roll along. All right, so I got to switch to golf a little bit, Ron, because Tiger Woods is playing in the Northern Trust as the PGA Tour is starting their playoff thing that they're doing. And Tiger hasn't been in this playoff. FedEx Cup is what it's called. And Tiger hasn't done this in 5 years. So he was being asked about this season where he was a runner-up in Tampa and he had the lead for a moment at the British Open and he had the incredible run at the PGA and he's, you know, been a factor in a couple of tournaments, but he hasn't won. And he said 2018 is right up there with the best years of his career. And at first, you know, I thought, well, that's ridiculous because there was 1 year he won three majors, for crying out loud. But then the more I thought about it, I think that as you get older, there are things that you see the world differently. And I think Tiger is seeing 2018 as one of his best because of, A, I didn't know I was going to walk. And I, you know, a year or two ago, I couldn't even chip a ball, let alone have a full swing. But I think Tiger is seeing something different. I think he's seeing a reappreciation for who he is. And I think that's causing him to really enjoy this year, even though he's not winning. There is a love affair now that's being rebirthed with Tiger Woods that goes back. I mean, it feels like 2000 again, but it's a different kind of love. It's a love for a guy that has gone through so many struggles and pain and agony and surgeries and is getting older. You know, you and I were talking about, we have these pains that don't go away. You know, like, you know, you wake up with maybe your back is stiff. That's done. You're like, it wasn't when you were younger. You could pop out of bed. Now, as you get older, things ache and they never going to stop aching. They'll probably ache forever. And I think there is an appreciation that, wow, Tiger went through spinal fusion surgery. He's playing golf and he's playing golf at a high level. And I re-enjoy Tiger Woods. If that makes any sense. That ability to sort of appreciate what he's doing on that next level. That ability to say, you know what? This is a guy that got pulled over. His wife was chasing him with a golf club.
That's probably what messed his back up is probably,
maybe,
you know,
so
dodging and jumping into bushes.
Well,
that and
I got
all the sex.
I was so mad. I know all the sex. I wasn't mad. Mad's the wrong word because when people say they're mad, it usually means they were personally affected by something. I wasn't personally affected by it, so I wasn't mad.
You were disappointed.
But I was disappointed when. Do you remember when that Thanksgiving nine years ago?
I was at a wedding that weekend.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I remember
a Thanksgiving weekend wedding. That's even
better.
Yeah,
you know, it didn't turn out that well.
But okay.
I remember, because I was staying in a hotel, I remember coming down, you know, one of those hotels that have free breakfast in the morning, and I remember coming downstairs, and it was all over CNN. And at first, I didn't even realize what was going on. I was just, you know, kind of oblivious, like, nah, let me get my waffle. And
yeah,
then
right.
I'm looking at it, everyone's just, you know, staring at the TV and like, did you hear this? And I'm like, holy cow, what does this mean?
Well, remember the story. So Tiger, it was Thanksgiving weekend. So Tiger got in his car and he drove and he hit, like, he left his house and he like hit like a street lamp or a fire hydrant or something like that in the car.
Yeah, that was the original report. They got
into
an accident.
Report. So what happened was his wife came out and she had a golf club and his team spun it to be that Tiger left, was over-medicated, got in an accident. He couldn't get out of his car. So his wife with a 7-iron was able to pry the car open and get him out and drag him out so he could be out of the vehicle.
Superhuman strength.
I mean, so again, I wasn't mad because that didn't personally affect me, but I was like, stop thinking we're idiots. Like, stop. There was no married individual that believed that story for 1 second. Oh, middle of the night? Your wife with a 7-iron? Oh, I know exactly how this story was going down. Your wife got a 7-iron and was prying you loose from, what was the car on fire? What did you crash at 90 miles an hour? You rolled out of your driveway and crashed into the first available thing, and your wife ran to your rescue. No married guy believed that story.
We wanted to believe that our wives would do that for us.
Yep.
That, hey, honey, I ran over the mailbox. Can you come rescue me?
If your wife is holding a golf club at 1 o'clock in the morning, it is not a good thing. It is not a good reason.
What, she's not trying to just get late night shots in?
Yeah, exactly. She's not out in the backyard practicing.
Yeah, he has his own golf
game.
Course. I mean, you know, what if you're just up and like, you know what, honey, let me teach you how to play golf at 1 in the morning.
She's like, Tiger, you use this? Now I'm going to use this. Are you kidding me? So again, disappointed was probably a better word. I remember going on and doing them. I remember because I was going on this morning rant. I was this brilliant rant. I have to applaud myself. I had my notes and I was following through and I was why this lie was big. And my co-host was like, "What do you care? Wasn't your problem?" And I'm like, "You just killed my bit, man." I was like, it was this nice rant about Tiger Woods and his crew lying to America.
Hey, it's Tiger.
It's Tiger. You should have just said it's Bob. What are you kidding?
Can you imagine? I mean, this is, you remember the whole voicemail here. We got the whole voicemail here. Here we go.
Play the whole thing because this is great.
Hey, it's Tiger. I need you to do me a huge favor. Can you please take your name off your phone? My wife went through my phone and maybe calling you. So if you can, please take your name off that. And just have it as a number on the list now. Just have it as your telephone number. That's it. Okay, you gotta do this for me. Huge, quickly. All right, bye.
So great.
I mean, you know, but the funny thing is
so great.
Can you do that? I still to this day is like
2009 thing to do.
Well, no, but I mean, he knew technology, right? It's like his side piece taking her name off. Her phone, wouldn't do anything. It's Tiger's phone that needs to change it.
That's what I thought when I remember hearing that, thinking, how is she going to do that? How does she?
Yeah,
how does she do that?
If Elon is going through his phone, he must have programmed her name in there.
Oh God!
Did he just have it like, you know, her name, and then, you know, like you can put like their business is like Perkins Side Chick,
right?
So he can keep track of, you know, which side chick, because he had many.
Or Michael Jones. PR.
Yeah.
You know what would have been better? You know what would have been great?
Random chick's name?
He should have put collection agency, don't pick up.
Right? Ooh, that's
and
a good
she's
tip.
Like, she was like, oh my God, Tiger, are we in financial trouble?
For no all lie. You men out there.
I've been going through your phone. Because that way, if Elon comes, looks at the phone and she sees collection agency, don't pick up, and she looks at it and goes, well, if I talk to him about this, because I mean we're supposedly filthy rich, what if we're not? If I ask him about it, then I went through his phone. I can't do that.
Well, why not, you know,
but if I found a woman, I could flip out and everything. No, there's no problem here.
Why not just put, like, you know, hey, Phil.
Yeah,
you don't have to put Mickelson. Just say
that's
Phil.
Right. Just put Phil.
You get voicemails from Phil. You guys are buds. Well, at that time, you weren't really buds, but.
Elon might be suspicious of that, but he could say, Phil just won't leave me alone.
Yeah, or PGA.
There's nothing I can do.
Just PGA.
PGA.
Like you said, PR. PGA, PR. They're just, they're trying to get me to do another sponsor signing thing. Whatever.
It's tough being Tiger. But I'm dedicated to you. Don't you think for 1 second I'll go take that corporate gig. I'm dedicated to this home life right here. Don't you think I'll leave you for a second. You can't get rid of me.
At the end of the driveway.
Crash your car at the end of the driveway. He couldn't even leave the complex, man.
Hey.
He couldn't even drive out of his gated community
in Florida
for 2 seconds.
But think about it, though. She's probably swinging the club as he's driving away.
Swinging a golf
just
club.
Just swinging.
So you fast forward 9 years, and the crowds are like, Tiger Woods, baby. Awesome. It's awesome. Guy hasn't won a major in 10 years. Can you believe that? 10 years. We have not had Tiger Woods win a major. Like, there are kids now are like, Tiger was a good golfer? How would I know? I'm 12. I've never seen him win a major.
My son.
Yeah, your son's like 11, right?
My son is 11, and he's
never seen him win one.
Never seen him win one, but he asked me when we were watching the PGA Championship. He's like, yeah, isn't that guy like one of the great, you know, isn't he like the best golfer in the world? I was like, well, okay, this is going to be tough to explain, boy.
Yeah. But
at one time, he was unstoppable.
Exactly.
When he put that red shirt on, that red polo shirt, it was business time for him.
It was business time, man.
And then he usually ended up at a Perkins later on.
Yep, that's right. Perkins. Right.
No hey, love the, for Waffle House, Denny's, no. IHOP. No, you can't get any of that. Got to go Perkins.
Perkins waitress. She was it. She was the downfall.
Let alone all the, you know, other probably many strip club beauties out there.
Yes, exactly.
You know he played his way through it.
Oh, man. What was Mickelson's big controversy? The FBI was talking to him about some insider's trading that never went down. That was it. That was all Phil Mickelson could muster in his
brilliant
career. Yeah, exactly.
He's a family man.
He's a total family man.
He might have done some shady business on the side, but he's a family man.
That's it.
No infidelity.
FBI was looking into him for some insider trading because he was hanging out with like Billy Walters or something and gave him an inside stock tip. Mickelson took it. And then, of course, Mickelson was like, yeah, they talked to me. I answered the questions, and that's it. I just went to my attorney, and they took care of it.
I will say this. Tiger will make a good coach someday.
I agree.
The reason I say this is because if Elin was able to swing the club with that much damage, because you know Tiger and her were practicing on the side. He was showing her his craft.
Yeah, sure he was. Yep.
And she was able to swing that club with authority and take down an SUV and take down Tiger at the same time. That she should be playing golf right now, too. She probably would have won a major before Tiger.
That's right. That's right. She definitely would have won a major before he did. Good Lord. Oh, my God.
She was like the nanny of someone, right?
Yeah, she was Jesper Parnevik's nanny. And, you know, Tiger was like, that one. And Jesper was like, yeah, she's beautiful, isn't she? Tiger was like, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
And they hooked up that way.
But give me that number quickly. Huge. Quickly.
Oh, you nannies out there. Goodness gracious. Why would you hire a hot nanny? Why would you hire a hot nanny?
Well,
I know why, but
there are many videos out there to tell you why you would hire a hot nanny.
Why would you want the agony of your wife going, oh, well, I guess she's prettier than me. No, honey, she's not prettier than you.
No, you know what? True story. We
20
almost,
years younger, but not prettier than you.
With our first son, when my wife decided to go back to work, we were looking for a nanny. And the first one that came up, she was really nice. And we were all set to hire her. And she literally, I mean, she was attractive and she was young. And to say that she had a, how could I say this PG related? Something to deal with the front side of her.
A balcony you could do Shakespeare off of.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
You know, she really, I wanted to go boating. And you know, we were all set to hire her. We were like, yes, you know, she's the one. Our son took to her, and I wonder why. You know, that's my boy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Good boy.
And my wife had second thoughts. It turned out to be a good thing that she had second thoughts about it. And we went a little bit older, a little more experience.
Doubtfire experience?
Somebody I was like, no. But she even went into this whole thing about how the last family she was working for, she had a horrible time with the husband.
I bet.
So, yeah, I could have gone Tiger route there.
Well, good luck, Tiger, at the Northern Trust out there in New Jersey. One of the events on the playoffs. I'm sure they'll all be screaming your name at this one. They really want him to win. People really want him to win. All right, SB Nation AM rolling along. I am Tony D. That is Ron Culver. We're SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You guys started the hour by saying, hey, listen, the third episode of Hard Knocks was on last night. I was watching it, and, you know, a lot of it's the same old, but this one was the episode where Dez Bryant came to town and talked to Hugh Jackson. They actually had the camera in the meeting, and both sides were talking, and obviously he didn't sign with them. But there was a feeling like this was a good match, like watching the show, the way they kind of pieced it together. They showed Dez Bryant arriving, people were handing him stuff to sign, and, you know, he walked in, did a little bit with their radio, in-house radio show. They walked in with the coach, talked about And one of the things Dez wanted from the Browns was realness. And he wanted to make sure they understood who he was. But it didn't go down. But again, this is the fascinating stuff. I wish Hard Knocks, in a lot of ways, I wish that show concept would go into other sports sometimes. Like, what, you know, with NBA teams and, you know, maybe even baseball. I don't know if baseball would be interesting at all. But I know they did something with hockey. I think they did something with, like, the Washington Capitals at one time. But these little insights that you get are kind of cool. I mean, sometimes you kind of know how they played out through media reports, but you don't know exactly what was said and why something may or may not happen. But it was neat to see the part of the story where Dez Bryant came to Cleveland. They also had Brad Paisley in camp, and he was a big Cleveland Browns fan. And they took him into the quarterback RV to show him where the quarterback stayed during training camp. It was kind of neat. I mean, it was just like a little insight into Brownsville. And this is why people are getting all excited.
Yeah, that's why I remember when the Texans were doing it. They were showing all the rookies in a Holiday Inn. I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's right. It's kind of neat the Browns quarterbacks live out of this RV. Like, I don't know if I could live in an RV for, like, weeks and weeks of training camp with other people. If I had my own RV, if I had my own trailer, it would be fine. But it was like four of them living out of an RV. Supposed to get to know each other. Why? Because, you know, two of these guys are going to be gone. All right, SB Nation AM rolling along on SB Nation Radio.